holiday season.
Freedom, freedom goes away.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker. I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh, or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I want to actually put to rest something I put out which wasn't accurate. We always try to be as accurate as we can and verify our source of information, but I'd made the statement that the Treasury Department was going to withdraw pennies and nickels starting the first of next year. And we had this from several articles on the Internet, looked very authoritative. However, somebody sent me an email with a reference to an article by the man who supposedly wrote the article saying the Treasury Department was going to withdraw nickels and pennies and said the article was a scam. Well, I called the Treasury Department today, talked to the people at the press office, and they assured me the Treasury has no intent of withdrawing pennies and nickels. So we want to put that story to rest. It was just disinformation, and I apologize for it. Not going directly to the Treasury to check it before we send it over the radio. With that as a background, let's go to our guest this morning. Ordinarily, we'd have Joel Skousen with us on Friday mornings, but Joel is indisposed, so we have with us his son, Andrew Skousen, and we're going to go over Joel's interpretation of the news of the last week. Andrew, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Good. You go right ahead with the story. Give us the overview of the news of the past week.
Certainly. Sounds good. Well, a couple of weeks ago in the brief, we covered the unusual and early moves of the establishment media in promoting their favorite globalist for the Republican nomination for the presidency out in 2016. And notably, how they ignored the possibility of Mitt Romney ever running again. But constitutional conservatives would do well to consider their options well in advance, now that Ron Paul has retired from Congress and will not run again for president. We've had many conservatives ask us who is capable of filling Dr. Paul's shoes. This week, we'll showcase some of those talked about, and my dad will give his own views. Now, this isn't to say that Ron Paul has been put out to pasture. On the contrary, his speaking schedule is as busy as ever, which keeps him front and center in the libertarian conservative movement he founded. That's good because Dr. Paul's reputation for consistency of principles and statesmanship creates a rigorous standard by which any new leaders will be judged. It's a standard any new leader in the movement should have to meet. Style and personality may differ, but the movement will demand the same kind of unyielding and uncompromising principles that made Ron Paul so trusted and beloved. Joe Wolverton, writing for The New American, lists some of the few principled people left. Ron Paul has retired. The iconic leader of the libertarian wing of the Republican Party will no longer be around to oppose unconstitutional bills proposed by his former colleagues. In fairness, Paul has not officially confirmed his plans for 2016, but there is little chance that the good doctor will make another run for the White House. My dad comments, I have been assured privately that he will not run again for public office. This has prompted many among his millions of admirers to begin the search to replace the hero, their hero. In February of this year, Reason magazine ran an article under the headline, "Who Will Be the Next Ron Paul?" Mike Riggs, associate editor of Reason, highlighted three members of Congress who he thought as potential torchbearers. Justin Amash of Michigan, my dad says, very good, sound on the Constitution, but possibly too young and inexperienced to fill Paul's shoes, lacks some seriousness. Rated 92% on constitutional votes by the New Americans Freedom Index. John Duncan of Tennessee, my dad comments, rated 90% on the index, but he lacks the persona and fatherly warmth of Ron Paul. And Jared Polis of Colorado, my dad says, while Polis matches Paul's passion against wars of intervention and denial of civil liberties, he's against the Patriot Act and the NDAA provisions, he's also openly gay and a Democrat, espousing typical left liberal social causes which Ron Paul would not support, like abortion and the denial of private rights to discriminate. Continuing with the American next week, Revolution Political Action Committee will reportedly announce the formation of a committee to draft Judge Andrew Napolitano to run as a Republican in 2016 for president. Notably, Ron Paul once named Napolitano as the man he would choose as a running mate. According to a story published by Forbes, as well as an announcement on their own website, the Revolution PAC committee will announce its Draft the Judge campaign by circulating nationwide a petition to gather signatures to demonstrate the level of grassroots support within the Liberty Movement to put his honor at the top of the ticket. Lawrence Hunter of Forbes explains the impetus behind the drive to recruit Napolitano. There is no other person in the country as respected and popular within the Liberty Movement as Andrew Napolitano, a former jurist, constitutional scholar, New York Times best-selling author, and TV celebrity. There is no other person in the movement with the gravitas and name recognition outside the movement that Napolitano possesses, or who is capable of reaching outside the confines of the movement to inspire and capture the hearts and minds of Americans from every corner of life. There is no other person in or out of the Liberty Movement more articulate than Napolitano to carry forward the campaign for liberty with a revolutionary spirit, as Ron Paul admonishes. Despite these qualifications, Hunter admits that Napolitano has neither encouraged nor accepted such an offer. In fact, when asked by Robert Wenzel of the Economic Policy Journal whether he would consider running for president, Judge Napolitano said, probably not. Hunter writes, he may resist again, and the people will say, read our lips, Judge, run, no other candidate will do, end quote. Haddad says, I can heartily endorse the judge and hope he does run. He's been one of my favorite conservative commentators for years and has a solid reputation as both a libertarian and a conservative. I often wondered how he lasted so long at Fox until they fired him, which I consider a badge of honor. With the quote, what Hunter's article and the Revolution PAC proposal do not take into account, however, is that the GOP has made it all but impossible for any candidate with a libertarian or independent-minded streak to receive that party's nomination for president. And if anything, my dad comments, and if anything is influencing the good judge's negative feelings on the matter, it is the history of betrayal of constitutionalists by the Republican hierarchy, who, in my opinion, are globalists. Have Ron Paul supporters so quickly forgotten the perfidy of party leaders in Tampa at the 2012 National Republican Convention? It is unlikely, but when reading Hunter's praise for Judge Napolitano, it is easy to overlook the GOP establishment's animosity toward libertarians. Hunter says, the best thing about Judge Andrew Napolitano as a candidate for president is that he, like Ron Paul, will always tell the truth, no matter what, so help him God. No obfuscation, no weasel words, no mumbo jumbo.
Hang on there, Andrew.
Oh. Crestline Construction in Greeley reminds us that we all benefit from the security a strong military offers our country. In appreciation, send a soldier a care package to let them know they're not forgotten and to make their time away from home a little more pleasant. Type military care package into a search engine to find out how. This message has been from Crestline Construction in Greeley. For all of your remodeling needs, call 970-371-8574. That's 970-371-8574. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, filling in for his dad, Joel. We're talking about who will be the leader of the conservative pro-liberty movement in 2016. And since Ron Paul will not be there, I and Chris Johnson need Joel. Joel is going over, or Andrew is going over, the list of potential candidates. One would be Judge Napolitano. Go right ahead, Joel. Andrew.
Yes, yeah, certainly. We're quoting an article from the New American. It says, the best thing about Andrew Napolitano as candidate for president is that he, like Ron Paul, will always tell the truth, no matter what, so help him God. No obfuscation, no weasel words, no mumbo-jumbo and gobbledygook, no pandering to the establishment, just the truth, the plain truth, and nothing but the truth. Unfortunately, the plain truth, and nothing but the truth, is that the fix is in. The small but powerful moneyed cabal that runs the Republican and Democratic, for that matter, party, will never allow a man they cannot control to be their party's nominee for president. They railroaded Ron Paul, and they would do likewise to Andrew Napolitano. End quote. This is quite true. Even though Napolitano, like Paul, has evaded any direct mention of conspiracy to take away our liberty, powers that be know when you are not one of them. Even when you bend over backward to please the establishment, like Romney did, they won't let you in. Napolitano doesn't try to please them, so he'll be excluded using many of the tactics they used against Paul, as I covered in the book Thursday. But, as my dad also said, it's to our advantage to have someone of principle running, so that we can continue to document this unfair treatment, which is additional evidence of conspiracy to manipulate the vote. And that brings more honest people into the movement. No discussion of the possible candidates would be complete without Rand Paul, Ron's son, the freshman senator from Kentucky. He's already making a name for himself as fans of Ron Paul watch his actions, hoping for another champion to support. Even the establishment media had to put him on their list of potential nominees, though they have no intention of allowing him to win. However, the younger Paul has shown a strong tendency to play up to the establishment and to compromise as well, which has caused many of Ron Paul's most devoted followers to write him off. While I don't think he has personally sold out, I think he's naive enough to think that playing ball with the establishment will accrue to his eventual favor. The powers that be will play Rand for all they can get out of him and hope that he'll compromise the Tea Party and bring the Tea Partyists a bit closer to the mainstream. But if Rand has any hopes of controlling his destiny while playing on their turf, he is mistaken. Tim Stanley, a British liberal and biographer of Pat Buchanan, outlines the problem with Rand Paul's ongoing efforts to distinguish himself from his father. Quote, there are two things you need to know about the side of anti-war maverick Ron. First, he's running for president in 2016. The talk of D.C. is that he doesn't much enjoy being a senator, and his actions since election have suggested he's more interested in courting the Tea Party than legislating. Second, he's going to soften his father's message in order to do it. The word is that he's building up to a significant speech outlining an approach to foreign policy that distances himself from Ron Paul's legacy. On Tuesday and Wednesday, Jennifer Rubin ran a couple of interviews with Ron that signaled a subtle shift in rhetoric. On Tuesday, she wrote, foreign aid is a topic on which Paul has made waves, like comments in the past. However, in our conversation, he expressed his views in a measured fashion. His father has always opposed all aid in all circumstances on the grounds of constitutionality. Rand, by contrast, seems to want to move toward the limited aid program that rewards good behavior. For example, quote, the foreign aid bill he introduced would have allowed aid to Egypt, Paul said, if officials in Cairo could prove they would defend our embassy. Rubin approves of this because at a time when Egypt and other countries' behavior is antithetical to human rights and human interests, it would be appropriate to reform how dollars are distributed overseas. It might well be smart, but it's also a departure from our rigid non-interventionism. In Wednesday's interview, Paul took on the thorny subject of Israel. Although his father always insisted that Israel had a right to defend itself, his opposition to military aid tarred him in the minds of many as anti-Israeli. Keen to distance himself from the controversy, Rand has pledged to visit the country, partly because he's, quote, fascinated with the first century, unquote. In that case, this writer comments, he should travel more widely. Some parts of the Middle East haven't moved on at all. More specifically, Paul implies sympathy for Israel's recent response to rocket attacks from Gaza. The only way to expand upon the Paulite electoral base in the 2016 primaries would be to make friends with other conservatives, my dad comments. Rand is getting lots of this kind of advice from liberals, to compromise in order to expand his base. And so it makes sense to blunt those parts of the foreign policy issue that cause the most offense. However, the strategy carries risks. The biggest is that he might alienate the very Paulite movement that made the Paul family brand what it is today. Paulites are, quote, stubborn, angry individualists who are suckers for ideological purity, my dad comments. This is an unnecessary pejorative that liberals who respect Britannia for intellectual rigor but don't want it to prosper can't resist. Ron Paul's charisma was rooted in his lack of charisma, says this fellow. He appealed to those who favor ideas over personality. The cult of philosophy is so powerful within Paulism that if Rand moved too far too fast toward the center, he could lose financial and political backing. And unless he enters the 2016 cycle with that Paulite base on his side, what has he got? Sure, he's still got plenty of issues that appeal to the disaffected, legalized pot, military cuts, etc. My dad comments, the pot issues is not key for Ron Paul backers. It's merely a logical deduction derived from the lack of constitutional authority to stop people from personal choices that don't violate others' rights. But he lacks the personality to pull them all together into a compelling candidacy. Without ideological rigor, Rand Paul is no Ron Paul, end of quote. My dad says, Ron Paul's support comes from more than ideological rigor. It's also consistency of principles and a sense of moral trust in a man like Ron. Who one senses is a true statesman, one who would never compromise to gain popularity. Rand doesn't have that same trust yet. Well, let's look here now at some of the other options out there. Rand Paul and Napolitano aren't the only conservatives in the limelight. No list of potential standard bearers would be complete without mentioning a few others. Chuck Baldwin is a great speaker and can rally the movement. The former pastor from Pensacola had the courage to move to Montana for safety reasons and rebuild a new church there. In 2008,
Chuck, you're talking about Chuck Baldwin. Go ahead.
Yes, that's right, Dr. Stan. In 2008, Chuck Baldwin ran for president under the Constitution Party banner. My dad knows Chuck personally and gives him that same feeling of trust that he has felt with Ron Paul. He says, if Chuck has any political liabilities, it is the same that I possess. He's been both outspoken and truthful in the past about conspiracy, which gives the establishment press plenty of true quotations that, in isolation from the larger context and evidence, can be used against him and paint him as a radical, much as they tried to do to Dr. Paul. Ron Paul was constantly aware of this and did knowingly downplay, compromise, or deny some of the toughest conspiracy issues that he knows exist. Chuck Baldwin, on the other hand, though careful, doesn't hesitate to confront these glaring issues when he has the evidence. Karen Kwiatkowski, who just ran for president for Congress in Virginia, is an outstanding woman leader in the Ron Paul movement that we'll see more of. While my dad doesn't see her trying to lead the movement, she will certainly be a major influence if she's able to gain a seat in Congress. She's one tough lady who took on the Pentagon as a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force while working in Washington. She wrote several articles criticizing the Pentagon, skewing the information analysis leading up to the Iraq War, one of which entitled The New Pentagon Papers, and published in a March 2004 article on Salon.com, she wrote, "I witnessed neoconservative agenda bearers within OSP, the Office of Special Plans, usurp measured and carefully considered assessments, and thorough suppression and distortion of intelligence analysis promulgate but were in fact falsehoods to both Congress and the Executive Office of the President," end quote. SourceWatch.com tells in her bio that Kwiatkowski described how a clique of officers led by retired Navy Captain Bill Luddy, Assistant Secretary of Defense for NESA, the Near East and South Asia Directorate out of the Pentagon, and former aide to Dick Cheney, the latter was Secretary of Defense, took control of military intelligence, and how the OSP grew and eventually turned into a censorship and disinformation organism controlling the NESA. Karen is another individual who can be trusted not to compromise or give in to government pressure. When dealing with a conspiracy of power that controls both major political parties, we must insist upon leaders that will not bend to their will. That's more important than 100% agreement on every policy. Like Dr. Paul, we have to start by saying no. Lou Rockwell and TV journalist John Stossel also have huge followings in the libertarian wing of the movement, but they currently have no interest in entering the dirty war of politics. Both are affecting millions in their own way. In summary, the field is still wide open, says my dad. There's a huge hole waiting to be filled. Even though Ron Paul's legacy is one of ideas, people still need leadership to guide us to the mind of the politics for hundreds of operators conspire to use government against us and our liberty. And that's a physical battle that cannot be totally won by ideas alone. As in the first revolution, it will take blood, sweat, and tears, and some of us will even pay the ultimate sacrifice someday in this quest. But none of it can succeed without the help of divine providence, looking down upon us and guiding the process. May we be worthy of that help and listen carefully to the whispers of conscience as it guides us through the battle between good and evil. So that's my dad's comments about the future possibilities of leaders in the conservative movement now that Ron Paul is stepping down from politics itself. We can move now, Dr. Stan, to a little bit of good news. Both of these stories come out of Michigan. Republican Governor Rick Snyder of Michigan signed two right-to-work bills this week that curtailed union power in a state where unions have traditionally been powerful because of the automotive and related industries around Detroit. The new law allows workers in union shops to opt out of paying union dues if they wish. For too long, unions have wielded huge slush funds to support one party exclusively, and workers who don't support the Democrats have seen their money go to causes they oppose. That's not right. As in Wisconsin, unions and the mainstream media are having a fit over the passage of more right-to-work legislation that strips unions of coercive means to extract dues from those who don't want to participate. When so-called collective bargaining rights are stripped away by states fed up with union power, the media makes it sound as if some sort of equal right has been denied. But collective bargaining has never been equal since it was enacted in the 1930s. Such laws have always stacked bargaining favor in power in favor of the union. When the other side, whether a state government or corporation, has no power to hire replacement workers and unions can strike at will, there is no equal playing field. When a company is forced to accept a union as the sole bargaining agent for all workers, the rights of other workers are denied. Unions, in fact, are not defenders of workers' rights. They're defenders of workers' monopoly status. And the union's true enemy is anyone willing to work for less. A union is, in fact, the most anti-worker rights organization in existence. Just look at how they treat other workers who are willing to do the same work for less money. They've called them scabbies or worse. And unions even resort to violence and have killed workers who dare cross the picket line. Sure, workers have the right to strike and to quit if they don't like the wages or benefits. But they have no right to interfere with the owner's right to hire other workers, unless the owner specifically agreed not to do so in a contract that was not coerced by government. And that's the rub. Existing labor contracts were coerced by government, collective bargaining laws, giving companies no other choice than to deal with unions or suffer strikes which did not allow for replacement workers. Remember, there's no such thing as quote-unquote American jobs or quote-unquote workers' jobs. The jobs belong to the man who owns the money and who pays, not the worker and not the nation. A worker only has rights insofar as he contracts for them with the company or individual offering to buy his services in free and non-coercive negotiations. Eventually, we'll see a lot more social unrest provoked by the left as they fight to retain their coercive labor law powers that still remain. Well, the second item to come out of Michigan is a resistance to the NDA indefinite detention provisions. Besides reining in union power, Michigan is also leading the way in blocking implementation of the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, provisions.
Hold the thought, Andrew. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here with Andrew Skousen and World Affairs Brief.
Delaney's Electric Incorporated and all DAS listeners, how do you show your gratitude for the sacrifices made by those serving in our military? You can show you care by sending packages to our troops while they're away. Just call your local veterans organization or type military care package into any search engine. This message is from Delaney's Electric Incorporated in Ault. For all your electrical work, call 970-834-1715. That's 970-834-1715. Sentus, the uniform people in Greeley, ask everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. Be part of something great. This message from Sentus, the uniform people in Greeley, named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. Call 970-352-2233, 970-352-2233. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan back here, our guest Andrew Skousen, and he's discussing the unions and, of course, the fact that they have passed right-to-work laws in Michigan, meaning that you don't have to belong to the unions. Now, the unions have certainly improved the living standards of the automobile workers in Michigan, but to a ridiculous point where people were getting $65 to $70 an hour with certain retirement benefits, pensions, health benefits, and really driving up then the cost of the cars to the point where, of course, automotive industry has been encouraged to move to other countries. And certainly when the Japanese manufacturers have come into the United States, they've moved into the South, where, of course, they can get workers for $20 or $30 an hour, but rather than these ridiculous costs. And, of course, something has to be done to curb the power of the unions, because they use their power to push socialism. An all-powerful centralization of power in Washington, D.C., under a powerful ruling elite. We call it the Trilateral Commission. But the interesting thing is, if you look at the membership role of the Trilateral Commission, made up of the bankers, made up of the corporate heads, the people who own and control the major corporations of America, who do you find among the membership lists of the Trilateral Commission? Why, the head of the AFL-CIO. The head of the unions is working right along with these others. And what is the ultimate goal? A one-world government under the control of a ruling elite. So the leader of the unions working right along with the corporate elite for this same globalist goal and the destruction of America. So that puts an entirely different slant on so much of what's going on. It explains why there's such fury against the right-to-work laws, which, of course, would curb the power of the unions, at least in the state of Michigan. Andrew, before we go on, I want you to tell our leaders how they can, our listeners, how they can subscribe to World Affairs Brief, that's your dad's publication, and how they can get your dad's books, books on how to survive the coming crisis, strategic relocation, like his book on how to build a secure home. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The best way is for people to log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can find a link to get a sample brief of from my dad, a one-time free sample of the brief, where they can read that in its entirety. The website also has all of the news stories posted from several of the alternate media to help supplement the regular news out there. We work pretty hard on that. And if they want to receive books, there's a link there. And you also offer the books through Radio Liberty. Isn't that right, Dr. Stan?
And I do. We can get Joel's three books on how to prepare, certainly, a secure home, strategic relocation, how to build a secure room in your home. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. These books move very well. People know that difficult times lie ahead, and they're beginning to try to make preparations. 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like to get copies of Joel's books. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Well, in addition to some fairly good news with Michigan finally producing some legislation reining in the union's power there, there is also Michigan is also leading the way in blocking implementation of the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act provisions, allowing indefinite detention of U.S. citizens. The 10th Amendment Center writes that, quote, a bill condemning detention provisions written into the National Defense Authorization Act and blocking any state cooperation with federal agents attempting to detain people in Michigan without due process unanimously passed the Michigan House Wednesday. House Bill 5768 declares, no agency of this state, no political subdivision of this state, no employee of an agency of this state or a political subdivision of this state acted in his or her official capacity, and no member of the Michigan National Guard on official state duty shall aid an agency of the armed forces of the United States in any investigation, prosecution, or detention of any person pursuant to Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act, etc., etc. It passed 107-0. We say bravo. Well, now back to some of the rumblings and bad news over in Syria. Dennis Ross, as you know, Dr. Stan, a Trilateral Commission member or former member, a serious globalist insider and former Mideast envoy, has said this, quote, if all else fails, U.S. will hit Iran in 2013, end quote. Ross told to the Times of Israel, I think there's the stomach in this administration and this president that if diplomacy fails, meaning to deter Iran from developing nuclear weapons, to use force, end quote. Up until November 2011, Ross was also Obama's top advisor on Iran inside the National Security Council, which my dad says controls most presidents. The reason that he can be so confident is that Ross knows the game plan, which my dad believes involves taking down Syria first. This is a demand by Israel to the globalists as the price for doing their bidding in preemptively attacking Iran. The U.S. and NATO must eliminate Syria because of its huge retaliatory threat to Israel after Israel hits Iran. This week, the U.S. sent a huge signal to those supporting the Assad regime in Syria. Get out now while the get is good, because we are formally recognizing the Syrian rebels as the legitimate representatives of Syria. That announcement is always a prelude to undercutting the government. The New York Times was man enough to admit that Obama's move was an attempt to intensify the pressure on President Bashar al-Assad to give up. That's the kind of move that makes a mockery of U.S. pretensions about democracy. The rebels have never been democratically elected in any way and are composed of known terrorists or jihadist radicals that will wreak havoc on Syria once in power. It's the height of hypocrisy to declare them the legitimate representatives of the Syrian people. The U.S. is simply picking winners, hardly the triumph of democracy over tyranny. As in Libya and Egypt, the game is all about installing unstable regimes that will someday justify more direct intervention and control in the name of international peacekeeping. Russia also seems to be swaying in their support more seriously now about the survivability of the regime. They've chimed in with negative doubts about the survivability of the regime, which is certain to cause panic among those still supporting Assad. The Associated Press notes, Syria's most powerful ally, Russia, said for the first time Thursday that President Bashar Assad is losing control of his country and the rebels might win the civil war, dramatically shifting the diplomatic landscape at a time of enormous momentum for the opposition. While Deputy Foreign Minister Mikhail Bogdanov gave no immediate signal that Russia would change its stance and agree to impose international sanctions on Assad's regime, his remarks will likely be seen as a betrayal in Damascus and could persuade many Syrians to shift their loyalties and abandon support for the government, end quote.
You hang on.
My dad said that's what's intended.
Hang on, we'll be back in a moment.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Trace Margaritas in Greeley thanks all the brave men and women in the armed forces who have served our country. To those heroes back home from missions abroad, know that your dedication, selflessness, and courage are appreciated. May God bless America. This message is from Trace Margaritas, 2319 8th Avenue in Greeley. Call 970-378-6662. That's 970-378-6662, offering a 20% discount to veterans and those who served in our armed forces.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen for the last segment. Andrew, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. So we're discussing Syria here and how Russia has withdrawn their made some disparaging remarks about the strength of Assad's regime right now. My dad says, as I long predicted, Russia will not stand in the way of the fall of Syria or Iran. They aren't ready to take on the West yet, and they gain more by allowing the U.S. and NATO to continue to rampage through the world as globalist bullies. The new Russian downgrading of relations with Assad will undoubtedly boost rebel morale and undermine those supporting Assad. The U.S.-backed opposition, which includes numerous terrorist groups the U.S. claims to disavow, have made significant gains recently. Not only is Damascus under constant threat now with fighting in the suburbs, but two major military bases have been captured. While the Assad regime could collapse through attrition, it might take more than 3 to 6 months, and I get the feeling that U.S. and Israel can't wait that long. We may yet see U.S. and NATO military intervention. CNN has reported that the Pentagon, quote, has updated its military options for a potential strike against Syria, end quote. The official told CNN that the U.S. has all the firepower it needs in the region to attack Syria, and if they get the go-ahead. They'll need a provocation to do this. Now that the rebels have overrun one chemical weapons depot, false flag use of sarin gas could provide that needed excuse to intervene. The Guardian also reminded readers that the alleged chemical weapons threat has been used by NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen to justify deploying Patriot missiles in neighboring Turkey, end quote. The New York Times says that administration officials said that over the last week, Assad forces for the first time had fired at least 6 Soviet-designed Scud missiles in the latest bid to push back rebels who have consistently chipped away at the government's military superiority.
Well, Andrew, I really think people have to understand the United States is financing the terrorists and al-Qaeda because the United States wants to overthrow Assad's government. And once they can get Syria out of the way, then, of course, either Israel or the United States or Israel and the United States will attack Iran. The United States is not intent upon democracy or freedom. The United States' intent, the real foreign policy of America, is to bring about a one-world authoritarian government under a ruling elite. That's why we've toppled the governments of Egypt, of Tunisia, of Libya. We've already overthrown the government of Turkey. Now this is under the control of a Muslim Brotherhood, the same with Lebanon. We've already accomplished the same thing, essentially, with Afghanistan and Iraq. We've installed new governments there under the control of Sharia law, radical Islamic belief. The people don't want that, but that's what we're imposing upon them. And, of course, bringing that whole area under the control of a radical Islamic Brotherhood, a Muslim Brotherhood, which hates America, or at least ostensibly does.
in preparation for, I believe, for another war. But right now, everything points to the organized effort to overthrow Syria so that we can go to war with Iran. But ladies and gentlemen, this may have horrible complications for America, and we may want to certainly centralize our attention on football and on Christmas and all of these wonderful things that entertain us and keep us happy. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a seething cauldron of over there in the Middle East which could explode and have horrible, horrible results here in America, because if we go to war with Iran, Iran may retaliate directly against the United States. Go right ahead, Andrew.
That's right. And so there are some pretty serious rumblings over there, and it looks bad for Syria. Syria is the only thing that's holding up this this process. And although we don't approve of the Assad regime in and of itself, it's right now it's the only thing stopping them from moving forward and making life worse for a lot of people over there, and also us in indirect ways. Well, the next story is about Russia and how they are getting testy about U.S. interference. The Associated Press reported recently that President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday angrily rejected what he described as attempts to enforce foreign patterns of democracy on Russia and vowed to preserve the nation's identity against interference from abroad. Putin has pursued a tough course on dissent since his inauguration, with arrests and searches of opposition activists, and introduction of laws that impose heavy fines on protesters and rigid rules on civil society groups. Speaking to lawmakers, officials, and clerics who gathered in the Kremlin's ornate St. George's Hall, Putin said, "Russia would follow its own view on democracy and shrug off any standards enforced on us from outside." My dad comments that this kind of talk plays well with the Russian public, who is tired of being viewed as a second-class world power after the phony fall of the Soviet Union. Continuing with the Associated Press quote, Putin also pledged to support institutions that represent traditional spiritual values, a hint at even more state support for the Russian Orthodox Church. My dad comments, "The communists have always controlled the Russian Orthodox Church, even as they pretend to hate religion." Associated Press, Putin sought to boost patriotic feelings by promising to honor heroes of World War I and restoring the historic names of old imperial regiments of the Russian army. My dad comments, part of his strategy to buoy latent Russian nationalism. He also made new promises to boost the fight against corruption. My dad comments, a hollow ploy. Russia is considering to be one of the most corrupt countries in the world. A group that tracks global perception of the problem ranks Russia 143rd out of 183 countries. Putin called for sanctioning officials who own foreign stocks or bank accounts abroad and said they will have to explain the source of financing for big purchases, including real estate abroad. His statements would play well with the domestic audience, who has relished in the recent ouster of Defense Minister Anatoly Serdyukov over a military corruption scandal and investigations of other officials suspected of graft. Still, Gleb Pavlovsky, a political analyst and former Kremlin political strategist, told the Interfax news agency that Putin had failed to send a message of purging the high ranks, end quote.
The brief well, we're out of time, Andrew. I want to thank you very much for being with us, and we hope to have a chance to talk to you again real soon. Our guest has been Andrew Skousen, filling in for his dad, Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief. Bye-bye. God bless.
Thank you, Dr. Ann.
Bye-bye.
Delaney's Electric Incorporated in Alt asks listeners, how do you show your gratitude for the sacrifices made by those serving in our military? You can show you care by sending packages to our troops while they're away. Just call your local veterans organization or type military care package into any search engine. This message is from Delaney's Electric Incorporated in Alt. For all your electrical work, call 970-834-1715. That's 970-834-1715.
I'm a small business owner who wants to get down to the business of making my business better. So yeah, this is about me. It's about my dream, my desire to grow my business, turn a bigger profit, and increase my output. And it's the reason I'm looking at these Ram trucks and commercial vehicles, and I like what I'm seeing. From the legendary Hemi to the durable and powerful Cummins Turbo Diesel, you can enjoy low cost of ownership, the industry's best warranty, and upfitter-friendly chassis. They've got on-the-job upfit allowances up to $1,500, a special $1,000 small business incentive, bringing the total savings offers up to $8,200. On top of all this, you may be able to deduct up to 100% of the purchase price as a tax deduction. But the real incentive is low cost of ownership, fuel efficiency, and durability. I'm small business. My gut says Ram. Guts. Glory. Ram.
Maximum tax expense eligibility, $139,000. Consult your tax advisor. See dealer for eligibility and cash allowance details. Must take delivery by January 2nd, 2013. For more information about on-the-job savings, call 877-ON-THE-JOB or go to ramtrucks.com. Hemi and Ram are registered trademarks at Chrysler Group, LLC.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
And back here. And of course, what I want to point out is most of what we think we believe isn't true. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you need to get all the references on it. Supposedly, the Russian communists are our enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, we installed the communist regime. We financed the communist regime in Russia going back to 1917. Why? Because you have to have an enemy to justify an all-powerful military in America, an all-powerful government to protect us from the wicked communists we have financed since their inception. After the phony fall of Russia in the communist regime in 1990, 1991. Why was the United States Agency for International Development, the Far East Agency for Economic Development, that financed the drilling of the oil and gas wells in Russia that made them the largest producer of oil and natural gas in the world? We have financed communism since its inception, and Putin is simply playing a game. Supposedly opposing America in Syria and now supporting America's effort to overthrow the Syrian government. How do you explain it? It's all smoke and mirrors. The same thing in communist China. We brought the communists to power there by putting an embargo on the nationalist Chinese government in 1949 so they couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the world. The communists didn't win the Revolutionary War in China. We gave China to the communists. We back the Chinese communists. Why do you think we've transferred all of our industries over there and our manufacturing and our jobs? We're creating the best enemy that money could buy. Nothing as it appears to be, and we're heading towards terrible, terrible times because, of course, out of this coming great war, how it's going to line up, I don't know, but they want to bring about a world government and behind it powerful spiritual forces. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We are actually offering a case of the books. We want to get it reprinted. And if you can get a case of the books, ordinarily they sell for $12.95. You'll get them for less than $3 each. And, of course, you can give them away. You can sell them. Do whatever you want to. It'll help us. But it'll help you to get people informed. You can buy a case of my books, Brotherhood of Darkness, 64 copies, for $150 plus shipping by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. It'll be a great help to my ministry, but it'll help you reach others with the truth. The information you are never going to get elsewhere, and people are not going to get elsewhere, to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And behind all of the secret societies, and there are secret societies, and there is a little group that controls our government, both political parties, but behind that, powerful spiritual forces. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Go there, watch our DVDs. You can listen to our programs. Remember, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, more than anyone else in the country, as far as I know. And not only that, we have our weekend program as well. It's all expensive. We need your help to be able to maintain our network. But people across America are waking up, and more people are beginning to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we're losing that battle because people don't understand. They don't understand the media is controlled. Both political parties are controlled, they have their agents in our military. They control the banking system, the corporate system, the educational system. They're even working in our churches. Change the music and the message. Pray for America. 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Jasper Fries of Greeley reminds listeners, child abuse is an everyday occurrence in America. Be vigilant, and if you suspect a child is being abused, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and report what you know. The only hope some of these children have is that the adult community around them recognizes they need help. So if you know someone who needs help, report it today. This message has been from Jasper Fries of Greeley. He's on the air because he cares, wishing everyone a happy holiday season.